This
is After Sunday.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of After Sunday Digging Deeper. I am back from a hiatus of 2 weeks off.
And we are happy to have you back. Our guests did a great job while you were gone, but as always, we're happy to have you back.
Thank you so much to Emily and Brandon for a great couple of weeks. Honestly, y'all are going to replace me before too long by request anyway. So, did a wonderful job, thoughtful commentary. And two, I know Brandon was out of his comfort zone. So I know he's said before he doesn't like doing stuff like this, but he did a great job.
So, well, I'm sure he will appreciate you saying so.
And was that Emily's second time with us?
Yes, she said she has done, at least, I know she did this podcast at least once, and I think she's been on Craig's podcast as well. She'll correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure.
So getting to be a veteran herself.
Yes, she was great.
But great job. Thank you all. We had a good trip to Florida, back to the old sawmill. Grinding away at work, same old. But we're coming back to some more worship, revival of our worship and how we go about it. And
I think this is our last episode on revival of worship for this month. So just a kind of a quick refresher. So for our church this year, the overall theme is revival, and each month we've been focusing on a different type of revival. So September has been revival of worship. So we are closing out that series today, and we will have TBD on what's coming next month. So you'll have to tune in next week to see what our new topic is.
And you know, to kick things off, I didn't know what you had in your notes here. You're always more prepared than I am. But the first question that really rang out to me in the sermon today was, do we allow culture to shape the way we worship? How would you reply to that? If somebody, just say from a denomination, some community church, if they asked you, do we allow that to shape the way we worship? Does culture have an influence?
I think the answer is yes. And I think it always will. But I think we need to think about it. How much influence do we allow? For instance, I think a cultural thing and a shift in like technology and time is the tools of worship. So we have, you know, microphones and PowerPoints, and I can guarantee you that the first century church did not have those. So I would say that is a tradition that has influenced how we worship. As an example of one that's maybe more innocuous, we'll go with that word.
What about people's feelings towards worship? Have you ever heard somebody that say, I felt this, or I was moved in this way, or I had goosebumps?
100%.
And if they don't get that, it's almost like they don't feel like they've worshiped because they didn't experience something.
Exactly. I think when we're talking about, you know, from an overall standpoint, 21st century worship here, I think, unfortunately, it's become more self-centered, and people think about it in a way, like, what can I get out of it? What am I taking away from this? Like, was the sermon really entertaining? Did I have some practical applications that I'm able to apply to my life? Or, wow, the singing was just, it was so beautiful today. Or, you know, depending on the type of church you attend, the guitar soloist. Wow, that was just amazing. And I think we take it to sometimes to an unhealthy level and a level that isn't pleasing to God. Like, the point of worship is not about you. It's about God.
And along those same lines, I'm glad you pointed out the answer. He made a point, I think, in class over instruments as well. We never see that in Scripture. We never see that as an authorized form of worship.
Yes. In fact, the opposite is true. It was tied to Old Testament worship, which we've been talking about. So if you haven't listened to our other episodes, we'll use this as a plug. Go back and listen to our other episodes. And for more information and to really fully understand the topic, please, we have our sermons out on our YouTube channel. So please go listen to those if you're like, wait, what are you talking about? You know, instruments aren't in worship. I know that's a big one in today's overall, like I said, how the 21st century, you know, worships. So I'm sorry.
And also tying that into how we feel about self and worship being about self, or if you're moved. So my best friend from high school worshipped at a congregation that they had instruments. He was very gifted at playing guitar. My wife had friends growing up in high school, and they chose their church based on how is it phrased? Because it was the same for my friend that it was hers, being able to show their talents for God.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to be able to sing either in a choir where nobody else was singing, or they right. wanted to play a guitar or a piano, but they wanted to use their talents for God. And that's how it was framed. But that question, I want to show my talents for God. What if somebody has a different talent? What if baking's your talent? You know, I think that was right. that was an example that was brought up, maybe not for this, but, you know, can you worship God through baking? We don't center our worship around baking cakes, right?
Right?
If your talent is dancing, well, some churches may dance, but we don't see that in Scripture. We see right. it in the Old Testament. David, I think, mm-hmm. danced before the Lord.
Yes, but like with the dancing and the musical instruments, all of those were actually part of the Old Testament worship, which we do not take part in anymore because Jesus came and he fulfilled the old covenant. And we have now our true worship, which is in spirit and in truth that we're supposed to be practicing.
And before, I know I'm going off on tangents and this isn't the exact, you know, summary of what we had for our lesson here. But when I think about modern worship or what I think about the churches that are growing, it's community churches, but how do they treat God? When you listen to somebody like Joel Osteen, we're treating God as a life coach that almost validates our own feelings or what we desire already more than giving up to self.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Is that a good way to word that?
Yeah. And I think another way that I've heard it presented, and I think I've mentioned this on this podcast before, is like, are we limiting God with our view of him? Are we treating God as like a genie? It's like, oh, we pray to him when we need something and we just expect him to magically grant our wishes. That's not how it works. And we talked a little bit last week about how we are supposed to be a living sacrifice. Our life is the sacrifice. And sacrifice, by definition, means giving up something, giving up time, comforts, things that our human minds and bodies want to do, and doing something different instead, doing something to glorify God.
Yep. And I just think about, again, I know I'm chasing rabbits here, but these people that will say, you know, I felt called to do this, and because they got a new job in a new city or state and had financial success, or, you know, maybe they started a family or had whatever kind of success, something good happened to them, but it was because God called them to do that, and therefore they were rewarded immediately.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how God rewards us. He doesn't say, well, good job, I'm going to give you a raise.
Our reward is the kingdom of
eternal
of heaven. Like, our reward is eternity with God. It's not going to be, you know, found on this earth. God will not, contrary to popular belief or some popular belief, will not set up his kingdom here on earth. That's not what we're taught in Scripture.
But again, those preachers that do almost, and I use life coach, maybe there's something better, but almost like the good things that happen to you are because you're living life right. Well, we know from the earlier podcast that we've done on Job, again, the reward's not here. It's not physical.
Exactly.
It's not for now. So
yes. So going back to that self-centered worship, we talked about it and we were thinking about it in terms of like vain worship or quote unquote will worship, which was actually a new term to me today. But will
help me understand what will worship means.
Will worship is shaped by tradition, tastes, or trends, but it's lacking God's power. Will worship is when we impose our human will upon our corporate worship or our, you know, lifestyle worship. It can look spiritual, but it leaves Christ out of the center. It's very, like we were talking about, self-centered.
And was that when we went down and he talked about the kid wanting to help do the baking?
So
that may have been the baking example.
That was when we talked about like the dangers of this type of worship, that vain worship. And some of those were like, it looks good, it's impressive, it has the quote-unquote appearance of wisdom. And I think that was in, I think either Hebrews 12. We talked about a couple scriptures, and I'll leave these for you here. So we talked about Hebrews 12, 28. And that was talking about kingdom worship, which we'll get to in a second. And we also talked about Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9, where that's, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, preferring doctrines of men, paraphrasing there. And then we also talked about Colossians 2, verse 23. And so that was talking about promoting self-made religion. And so I think some other versions call that will worship. So that's where we're pulling the term from. But in one of those those sections of verses we talked about that will worship having the appearance of wisdom. And we talked about it being hollow. So when you think about it, the kid in the kitchen, I'll let you talk about that example.
Well, I was thinking on personally. So one thing that me and my daughter have done is, like yesterday, we just kind of wanted an inside day. I know it was pretty. It rained a little bit, but it was just kind of nice outside. But we had been going so hard from our trip that I just got back from. You know, you go to Disney World and it's not a vacation. You're up, you know, at 6 o'clock in the morning, getting ready to go to the park as soon as they call it rope dropping.
It's a trip. It's not a vacation. It's adventure. A trip. There you go.
But you're just trying to catch up on a little bit of rest. So we kind of stayed in, had a family movie night, but we baked some brownies. So we've been baking cookies and muffins and that kind of thing. She likes to feel like she's helping.
Exactly.
So it's something she really enjoys doing. Well, when we made cookies a few weeks ago, it was one of those that she really enjoyed pouring in the chocolate chips.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that any recipe calls for a certain amount of chocolate chips.
And you always add more.
That way you don't have, you know, so little that it's mostly cookie because we want the chocolate chip.
Yeah.
But if you put in too many, all you've basically made is a tub of chocolate, right? So, which maybe was what she was going for, but I was like, hey, how much should we put in? I kind of knew what was supposed to go in.
Yeah.
She was like, more,
always.
More, keep putting more. But when you let the kid dictate what should go into the recipe, in their minds, they're making it better.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, what my daughter would have wanted to have made is a glob of chocolate.
Yeah.
And that's, at the end of the day, that's no longer a cookie. It's turned into something else.
Right.
And I thought, man, that's, for him to have brought that up in class and the sermon, I thought that's something we have a little practical experience with here recently. But wanting of your own volition to make it better in your mind turns it into something that it was never intended to be.
Right. I'm going to turn over real quickly to Hebrews chapter 12 and read verse 28 for us here, because now that we've talked about kind of that vain worship, that will worship, I want to transition quickly as we near the end here to talk about kingdom worship and how it's different. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 says, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." So when we think about kingdom worship, it's different. It starts with grace. In the first part of that verse, it talks about we should be grateful for receiving a kingdom. It's a gift given to us. And we should receive it with gratitude. We talked a lot about the last couple of weeks about how, like, the prescriptiveness of Old Testament worship and all of the long list of things you had to do and at the times, and it was just so almost all-consuming. We are freed from that, and we should have an attitude of gratitude for that freedom. And then in going down the verse, our worship needs to be filled with reverence and awe. So there's a couple of things it is, and it's not for entertainment, which is a little bit about what we were talking for earlier. Craig used the example when you're there for a show, or you're there to, you know, get something out of the lesson, or hear the band play, or hear the choir. That worship goes from being vertical to God to being horizontal and directed at those individuals, which is not what it's designed to be.
Absolutely. At the very end, I liked what he said, moving from preference to gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
In preference, something you want, something that fulfills you, to gratitude, something that is outward and as you mentioned, vertical, I think sums it up very well. I don't think we have time to get into the Samaritan woman at the well. But
no.
to make the summary point that I take from that every time we hear about it, worship is for all.
Yes.
Not the Jews, not the Gentiles, not the Samaritan woman that would have been watered down blood or whatever you would have called it back then.
Mm-hmm.
Worship's for everybody. Our preferences tend to lead to self-sorting and hierarchy, and that's not what God wants. It's for everybody.
And
whenever you add worship that only some people can play instruments or a choir where only some of us sing well and some of us don't or whatever we want to
add. It becomes a spectator sport. You're no longer participating. And it's simple. And so we'll leave you with this, closing out our theme of revival. Revival is when the people of God rediscover the wonder of God. So let's do that as much as we can and stick to the scripture as much as we can when we think about our worship as we go forward. Thank you so much for being with us.
Almost like we're supposed to worship in truth.
What? and spirit.
Yeah.
What a concept.
It's good to be back with you.
We're glad to have you back, Alex. Thank you all for joining us this week, whether you start your week with us, whether you're using us as a midweek pick-me-up, or whether you're ending your week with us. We are so happy that you are here.
Until we meet again, God bless you all.
Bye, everyone.
This
is After Sunday.